this evening, we do not take it lightly. And we are privileged to be here because the presence of the Lord is here nonstop, all the time, every time. And we give God glory and we give God honor for that. Praise the Lord. Amen. God's blessings follow those that bless Him. The kingdom of God is available to those that are hungry and to those that are thirsty. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And we should show forth faithfulness. Can you say amen? All right. While you're standing, let's go to the word of the Lord. And you'll find a portion of scripture in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 13, where the word of God says, I, that means everyone, can do all things. But there's one way that we can do all things, and that is through Christ, which strengtheneth me. We are strengthened by Him, and through Him we are able to do all things. Amen. And then Galatians chapter 5. We're going to have a little bit of a lengthy reading here, but bear with me. Galatians 5, 19 through 26, where the Word of God says, Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, such like of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. You still have joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. In other words, we can have as much as we want. And they that are Christ, they have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let's walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Amen. I want to talk about a breakthrough. I just want to talk about a breakthrough. Praise God. And so let's look to the Lord and ask God to help us this evening, shall we? Jesus, we thank you for the opportunity. And again, we praise you for the privilege. Lord, not everybody has this honor. The honor of being apostolic, the honor of being in an apostolic church, the honor of feeling the Spirit, the honor of even understanding what the Spirit is, the honor of the Holy Ghost or speaking in that heavenly language, Lord, the honor of being healed, the honor of being touched and blessed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Lord, we don't take it lightly, and we praise you for all these breakthroughs that you've given us time after time throughout the years. I ask, Master, that you move again this evening. Lord, that you would touch and that you would enlighten us and help us. Let the Word of God sink indelibly into our hearts so that we can say, as David said, that we may not sin against you, O Lord. In Jesus' name, and somebody shout amen, God richly blesses your seated just now. Amen. Again, we're so glad to have guests and visitors, home folks, and we'll continue to pray for all of those that are very sick in their body. Amen. And incidentally, Brother Donnie Tyre is also Jenny's dad. I want to leave that out. Praise the Lord. Amen. If I start naming all the grandkids, he might slip out and shoot himself. But he's got a lot of healthy grandkids. Amen. God is good. Somebody shout all the time. Amen. What I'm feeling tonight, and it's very basic and very simple, and but yet I wanted to share with you this thing about preaching at the men's conference has been on my mind heavy, and fortunately I've got all that together and I'm prepared for that, and now it's just to go into it with prayer and a little bit of fasting perhaps and seeking God. But I'm going to talk to the men about a certain subject. But the subject tonight sort of stems off of that. Amen. if we're going to get through, then we're going to need an absolute breakthrough. Amen. How many of you agree with me on this Bible study night that the carnal mind is an enemy of God? Amen. And what we've got to do is, if this was a game like football, then we need to get right in the middle of the field. Because they can get tackled, but as long as they fall in the end zone, they're still in the game. Stay inside the lines. Things are going to happen. But the carnal mind being an enemy of God is something that we should try to comprehend and something that we should try to understand. And to know this, amen, that we shouldn't be that close to carnality. Because of blessings, because of maybe financial gain, or because things are going better than perhaps they ever have before, can cause a person to lose their grip on the greatness of God. And we don't want that to happen. Because we know what God can do to get us back and to revive us, whether it takes sickness or wrecks or things being burned or things being destroyed, whatever it takes, if the love of God is still there, He'll do it. He will let it happen. And so what we do is we learn through constant breaking through that. Now, I understand that the spiritual mind totally comprehends what I'm talking about right now. But when you say breakthrough to the carnal mind that doesn't care anything about the spirit, they have no clue. But when you're constantly breaking through, you can have an issue in your life and constantly continue to break through that issue until that issue eventually is gone. But you don't give in to the issue just because it's there. And say things like, well, that's just who I am. Well, if that's who you are, let's put who you are on the altar and let the blood of the Lamb saturate all of that. And you get yourself a breakthrough. Because it's going to take a breakthrough to get to the kingdom of God. Amen. We can talk a talk. But ladies and gentlemen, we need to walk a walk. Amen. Praise God. And so, sometimes we need to do as Galatians told us to do, just break the law. You say, well, now, what are you talking about? Well, I'm not talking about anything that would cause Brother Carson to lock us up. But what I am saying is that he said that love and joy and peace and long-suffering, meekness, kindness, all of this, he said against such is no law. And again, we can have as much as we want. And so why don't we look more toward those things? You know, one of the most aggravating things to a preacher, and I'm undergoing this right now, is not you. I learned a long time ago, God gave me just a little bit of wisdom, and I'm thankful. I may be shallow, but I got a little bit of wisdom. Amen. And that is, never blast out to the people that are there about the people that are not. Because you're here. They're the ones not. So why waste a whole sermon getting onto you for not being here when they're not even going to hear it, chances are. Amen. But it's tough. It's tough on ministry. It's tough on leadership. It's tough on the church in general. And it has got to be tough on God when people do not attend church just because they don't want to. I don't know what that speaks to them, but I know exactly what it speaks to God, and it speaks volumes. Amen. Not right now, God. Things are going pretty good. Things are going pretty well. And I want to keep them that way, and so I'm going to be out. And it's a meeting, or then it's out of town, and then it's a vacation, and then it's your family, and then all of a sudden catastrophe hits. The storm is full blown. And even then it's not time to give up. You know what it's time for? Somebody say a breakthrough. Praise God. Now, I know that it's Bible study time, but I wonder if we could have just a spiritual moment right now and lift our hands and every one of us be honest with ourselves and say, Holy Ghost, give me a breakthrough. Give me a breakthrough. Lord, speak through me. Move through me. I don't want to have been a part of this for so long that I can't feel the Spirit again, that I can't walk in the Holy Ghost, and that you can't speak to me for someone else, and that I can't feel that wonderful tingling touch of an angel when it passes by, and the brush of the wings and the anointing of the Spirit that breaks every yoke. Lord Jesus, don't let me become common. Don't let me become usual. Don't let me become what I have been in the past so I can fulfill the will of God for my future. Amen. So break the law. Get all the peace you want. Get all the love and kindness, the joy and the long-suffering that you want. Amen. If you could possibly even charge your challenge, expand your challenge. Amen. Let it go deeper than just the challenge of whether or not to go to church. Let it grow deeper than just the challenge of whether or not to give a dollar or something in the offering. But let it grow deeper than that. Amen. Let God charge your challenge and let it become just a little more than it's ever been. Life is full of challenge. Life is full of opportunity. Amen. Sometimes we've got to seize opportunity till you get all the juice out of it. As a teenager, before I was challenged to live for God, it was the ultimate to get someone to try drugs. I don't talk much about my past, and I don't like people that do. I don't like them to do that. There's no one I don't like. But I don't like people that just constantly talk about their past. Their kids hear it. Everybody hears it. Sometimes your kids are challenged by your past to duplicate it because you talk about it so much as if you like it. And so I don't talk about my past that much. But there was a time in my life that if you didn't smoke dope, you were going to before I got done with you. And if you didn't take pain pills, and if you didn't do this and that, you were going to before our friendship ended. And it was just a challenge of mine to get people to do what I did. And so I pushed. Amen. And so as a teenager, it was a challenge to me. And I seized that opportunity. When I came to God, one of the things that pointed me this direction was my best friend almost OD'd because I gave him drugs and didn't tell him how to use them. And so when he took a pill and didn't instantly get high, he took another one. And when he didn't instantly get high, he took another one. And when he didn't instantly get high, he took another one. And then he wound up in the emergency room with all the charcoal and all the pumping of the stomach and all that kind of thing. I remember one year, Carson and Cody were still going to school, and I think it was Carson came home and said, Dad, there's this guy. He sits right real close to me, and he's got long hair everywhere, and he's got this stuff he does, and he just sleeps through class, and he just talks, you know, just all out of the... And I looked at him, and I said, Carson, just be kind to him. Because it sounded like he was describing me in high school. I said, just be kind to him. Amen. I had a teacher to tell me, if you'll just pick up your pencil, I'll pass you. That's not bragging. That's where my life was really going downhill. And when I came to the Lord, here's what I thank God for. I never lost my desire to push. When I got the Holy Ghost, I wanted everybody around me to have the Holy Ghost. Amen. I've got preachers that tell their friends. If you need somebody, if you've got somebody that needs the Holy Ghost, call Kenny Marshburn, because he will pray a fence post through to the Holy Ghost. That's what they say. Amen. Now, I take that as bragging rights. Sorry. Amen. But if you're going to push it good. Amen. Listen, I'm just telling you right now. Amen. That's what I wanted. If I could do for the devil what I did for the devil, why can't I do for God what I'm supposed to do for God? Why can't we feel the... I'm challenged by Brother Harris sitting over there. Amen. Since he started this prison ministry, jail ministry, Bible study ministry, the guy has taught over 800 Bible studies. Amen. And we're going to clap our hands for him, because he's going to hit his 1,000 here before too long. And we're going to celebrate in Jesus' name. Amen. And that's going to be absolutely awesome. But how long are we going to be clapping for Brother Harris? Why can't someone feel the challenge to do the same thing? Amen. Hallelujah. Come on now. Amen. If we're challenged by others to do what they do, why can't we be challenged by others to do great things for the glory of God? Hello? Amen. I know it's Bible study night, but could we get excited about doing something for the Lord? I'm just telling you this evening. Amen. If we could push for the enemy, let's push for the Lord. If we could do things for the enemy, why can't we do things for the glory of Almighty God? Amen. Amen. And so, even though life is full of challenges, we can accept that. Amen. I haven't lost my drive to accept challenge. I've been to your homes when I was welcome. I've been to your homes when I wasn't so welcome. It don't matter to me. Here's what I feel. I got to get this guy turned on for Jesus. He's got to know how high it feels to come out of that upper room. Amen. Praise God. And so don't try to tell me how hard it is. I know how tough it can be. Don't try to tell me how addictive it is. I know what that is. I can tell you all about that, but I can also tell you how sweet deliverance is. Amen. I got in church at a very early age, but I'm telling you, a lot of water went under the bridge before I got there. I can tell you about addictions and that are not afflictions. Amen. Such as worship. I don't want to go one day without praising God. Does that sound foreign to you? Is that a surprise? That should not be a surprise. Amen. Why don't we try that in the future, not going one day without praising God? Just waking up in the morning saying, Lord, you're up to something and I want to be a part of it and I want to give you praise right here. Why don't we practice one moment, just a moment right here. You guys are making me nervous. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, we praise you for the opportunity, and we praise you for the privilege, and we praise you for the chance. Amen. We've got to tear down walls. And if we're going to do that, then we just can't march. The Lord proved that to us by Joshua. They marched and accomplished nothing. But the very moment as they were marching, when they began to praise the name of the Lord, the walls began to be torn down. And so that's what we're shooting for. Every wall must come down to bring apostolic revival to this county. Hallelujah. Amen. We have a normal barrier and we have a potential barrier. When you live for God, you can't think normal. And you can't think fair. God is not fair. He is not fair. Number one, if you think normal, it's not normal to have old-time Holy Ghost revival in this modernistic world. But here we are in the middle of it. In just one crusade, we read about it the other night, 3,000 miracles in one crusade. Blinded eyes, deaf ears, crooked limbs, on and on. Amen. That's not normal. So we're not going to go normal. And God, I said, is not fair. Amen. How many of you believe with me that when He saved your soul, that you did not get what you deserved? I did not get what I deserved. The Bible says we're born in sin, shaping in iniquity. In other words, if we're not born again, we're gonna wind up in a devil's hell. But he gave us the privilege and the honor and the opportunity of being born again. We didn't get what we deserved, the very thing we were born into. But he gave us the privilege of being born again. Thank God he's not fair. I had cancer. I should have died. Some of you have been sick. Some of you have wound up in the emergency rooms with ODs and overdosed and all of that. Amen. Hallelujah. So we're going to turn from that life. And we're going to stop pushing the things that the enemy wants us to push. And we're going to start pushing the things that God wants us to push. And in order to accomplish that, we've just got to have a breakthrough. We've just got to have a breakthrough. Amen. I want to stir you here tonight and challenge you that the next time you look at yourself in the mirror, that you just simply say, hey, look, mister, things are going to change. If you're a young lady, you look in the mirror and say, look, young lady, things are going to change. We know for a fact that if we stay the same way, that nothing else is going to be accomplished except the same things. Amen. There's always room for change. There's always room for a breakthrough. Amen. Praise God. The preacher went to a rural part of Indiana, decided he wanted to have 300 in Sunday school. Man stood up and said, preacher, we can't do that. There's no way. It can't be done. Pastor said, buddy, if we do it, will you stand and apologize? Tell this congregation you'll never think small again? The day came, and with tears streaming down his face, that brother broke the barrier. He stood up and he apologized and said, I will never think that small again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In 1954, there were medical articles that said the human body can't run a 4-minute mile. They'll just die. Just drop dead. They said physically the body couldn't withstand the pressure. In 1954, Roger Bannister, a medical student, did it. Between 1954 and 1956, 213 men ran under 4 minutes because someone broke the barrier. I didn't come here just to have another church. I didn't come to this city just to have another service. I didn't come here just to clap my hands and patty cake for Jesus. I came to this city to break the barrier that's got its stronghold on this county and surrounding areas. And now they're coming from other counties. You may not know this, but you're going to know it now. Just within the last week and a half, we've had 3 families to show up at Landmark and say, we want to make this our church. Amen. We've got to make this our church. They've got children, they've got aunts and uncles, they got brothers and sisters that are on their way to the house of God because they know this church is a place where you can go and you can get yourself a breakthrough. And that's exactly what they're looking for. Amen. They're looking for a total breakthrough. Amen. So take the lid off. Turn yourself loose. Amen. We fall not because of big problems, but because of small purposes. Our purposes can be so small until they get eradicated so easily. To quit sin just to say, I've quit sin, is not strong enough. To quit sin because you want or because you need to see Jesus. To quit sin because you want to stay out of hell is all the reason you might need to begin with. Don't expect crowds of people to gather around you, waving banners and patting you on the back. In fact, it might be just the opposite. You go home and telling folks you received the Holy Ghost and you spoke in tongues, they may hold up a cross on you. And that's when people that don't know one thing about the Word of God become professors and popes and potentates about the Word of God. Well, the Word of God doesn't say, don't let them tell you what it doesn't say. Because the reason they're saying what it doesn't, trying to say what it doesn't say, is because they have no clue about what it does say. Amen. Whoever steps out first usually steps out alone. but eventually someone will follow you. Small successes lead to greater successes. Begin to overcome small things in your life. Build a track record, and you'll be successful in greater things to come. You know, I've always said, inch by inch, it's a cinch. Yard by yard, it's too hard. One day at a time, one foot in front of the other, and one day you'll look back and say, look what the Lord has done. Success for most people comes after someone else has done the impossible. Am I right? Yeah, this gentleman broke that record. The whole world thought it couldn't be done. When he did it, then others began to follow suit. Success for Israel came after David defeated the giant. If you'll help someone else be a success, you'll knock off a giant. And remember, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. Let's stand together. I helped someone one time and didn't even know it. The only way I helped them, of course, I invited them to church. And they came. I remember the story because the preacher that preached Friday night, Brother Carson, he told a similar story. And I invited Mike Thompson to come to church. And Mike, when I talk about I did a few drugs and stuff, that this guy was hardcore. He would do drugs so bad until they couldn't find a vein to shoot up in because they were already so stoned out of their head that pulling it back and forth, the syringe would just fill up with blood and all of that. And when they couldn't find arteries, they would just push it into their mouth and just drink it, swallow it. I kept on Mike because shortly after I got in church, I found out that a group of friends of mine got together and they were high as usual, partying. And they were in a car and they decided, you know, the red lights were flashing at a train crossing. They thought, we're just going to outrun it. Well, they didn't. They met there at the same time. And so when the authorities arrived, they began to search out the area. And they found a head over here. They found a foot over there. They found a leg. They found a hand. They found... Mike was still alive. And I thought, I'm going to get Mike. And I kept asking him to come to church, come to church. Finally, one night, he comes. And I go into the prayer room. And I begin to pray. And some of the things that I would ask God was just kind of crazy. But me and God, we talked like that, I guess. I told him, I said, Lord, I said, Brother Donnie, remember Brother Morgan? I said, Lord, brother, don't let Brother Morgan walk the back of the pews tonight. Yeah, like the Holy Ghost would get on him and he'd run across the back of the pews. People just dug out of the way. I don't know how some people live for God and they see things like that. That was strange to me. But that's what he... And then people would twirl and scream and shout and people would run the aisles. And people would just go nuts. And you remember, we were always in a building program, and the middle part, there was pews, but on the sides, they had added on, and there wasn't carpet yet, and it was real dusty, and they had metal chairs. That was for the young people. Well, I was young people, and that's where we sat. And so I had asked the Lord, I said, Lord, if you'll just give us a calm service and just let Pastor preach a good message and conviction, and we'll get Mike down there and get everything cleared away. And church started. Brother Morgan contained himself. He did really good. Sister, whoever it was, didn't do the whirly bird. Everybody. But the Holy Ghost started moving on me. And I'm like, Lord, wait a minute now. Whoa. And I'm telling you, I couldn't contain it. It got me. When I came back to myself, I would spin like a top. I mean, my tie would be out there like that. I could watch the end of my tie. And I was spinning like a top. And when I came to myself, there were metal chairs were cleared out for about 25 feet all the way around me. And I looked for Mike. And he wasn't there. I thought, I have done it. I mean, there was dust all over my dark suit. I had fallen, got back up. All of that. And then there was a commotion down at the altar. And I looked down at the altar. And it was Mike. I couldn't even get to him. The crowd was all over and they were praying with him. And then he started leaping for joy. And then he got the Holy Ghost. He was speaking in tongues. And then he got baptized. And after service that night, he said, man. It was hippie days, you know. And he said, man. He said, did you see what you did? I said, no. He said, you hit the back of your head on that metal chair so hard it should have killed you. And you had a smile that wide on your face the whole time. He said, you cleared out the chairs. He said, if there's anything in this church that makes a man feel that good, I got to have some of that. And he got it. I don't know if you're going to remember this or not, but Mike Thompson was at our dedication for this building. So he got a breakthrough that day. And ever since the late 70s, he's still been getting breakthroughs. Do you think for one minute that I'm going to let Mike go to heaven and I don't get to go? When I was the one that got his carcass there? I can't do that. And you can't do that. And so what we're going to do is we're going to reach deeper for all the breakthrough that we may need so that we can see this thing all the way through. And if we're going to see it all the way through along the way, we're going to need some breakthroughs. I know it's Tuesday night. But for just a couple of moments, could you join me and let's stand around the altar here for a moment? And whatever the need is in your life, whatever that thing is that torments your mind, your heart, your soul, your body, why don't you ask the Holy Ghost for a breakthrough? Foolishness, carnality, hallelujah. Let's call on the name that's greater. Let's call on the name that's more powerful. Let's call on the name that's more wonderful. Tell him, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, guard my eyes. Lord Jesus, guard my vision. Guard my spirit. Guard my mind. Guard my heart. Lead me, guide me, direct me. Stir up the gift of God within me. Mold me, make me, shake me. Stir me. Oh, hallelujah. Yeah. Yes. I want more. That I can't contain, can't control. I want more. I want a breakthrough. I want a breakthrough. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Yeah. Lord, I want a breakthrough. Jesus' name. Yes, yes, yes. Hallelujah. That I can't control. I want more. I want more. Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. I want more. Anybody want more? Praise God. Why don't you shake hands, be friendly. Thank you for being church tonight. Mm-hmm.